Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
And the image was tarnished, the fathers said. And so Moses was receiving the commandments, the Ten Commandments from God, but he and the children of Israel were not worthy to receive the full revelation, which is given to us in Jesus Christ. The law was given, as St. Paul says, as a schoolmaster for a time to instruct people in holiness. And the purpose of the law was literally to bring into existence the person of the Theotokos, who could actually respond to God correctly, totally, with complete and utter self-sacrifice. And her reward for that response is that she became Theotokos, that she bore the Son of God. And the Son of God comes into the world as a man. He becomes incarnate for the sole purpose of renewing in us that possibility, which was in us from the beginning, which God created us with in the beginning, that is, that we should be like God. And the Lord, all of his teaching is geared to instructing us to that end. All of the teaching of Christ is intended to lead us to that final goal. And so we have in this gospel today from St. Luke, the Lord begins by saying, "As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." There are a lot of very difficult commandments in the Gospels. This may be the hardest. It's hard because, number one, we have a chance to practice it every day. It's not like the one of giving your life up for Christ, because we can think, well, you know, the chances are I'll never have to really do that. This is one that we have to strive to fulfill every day, right? "As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." And yet we don't. We don't approach other human beings thinking, how would I like to be treated in this situation? How would I like a perfect stranger to treat me like that? Much less our enemies, which is what the Lord sums it up with. Love your enemies. The Father's saying, well, if you want your enemies to be hard-hearted and stern and hateful and vengeful to you, that's how you should behave to them. But if you want your enemies to be forgiving and compassionate and loving towards you, then that's how you should be towards them. And we justify ourselves by the behavior of someone else. Well, so-and-so treated me badly, was offensive to me, and therefore I don't have to forgive them. But the Lord says the exact opposite. You love that person. It doesn't matter how he treats you. But the Lord is saying, if you want him to act differently, you act differently. The past couple of weeks I've had in the bulletin, I don't know if you noticed that, this quote from Archimandrite John Christian, who said, "Christ commanded that we love our enemies. He did not command that they love us. However they treat us is really outside of our concern. Our concern is that we love them." The Lord says, "As ye would that men should do to you, do you to them likewise." And then he goes on to say, if you only love those which love you, what faith do you have? What extraordinary thing have you accomplished? Nothing. Even sinners love those that love them. If you only do good to those that do good to you, what extraordinary thing have you done? Nothing, because even sinners do that, right? Organized crime is based on this principle. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, right? We don't have to be righteous, we don't have to be virtuous following this principle. But the Lord says, if you're going to be my disciples, then you love your enemies. And you do good, and you lend, and you hope for nothing in return. And what does he say? Because then, and only then, you will be children of the highest. What does that mean? It means that we will fulfill the purpose for which we were created. We will become like God. You will be children of the highest, because he is kind to the unthankful and even to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. What is the point of this brief passage? Be like God. That's why you were created. And you do it not by doing the easy thing, not by obeying the rules of this world, but by doing the difficult thing and obeying the rules of the kingdom which is to come. I think oftentimes we think about the every once in a while, one of us, by some fluke, we actually succeed in being a quote-unquote nice person. And we think that by behaving as a nice person for 5 minutes in one day, in a month, we think that we have somehow fulfilled the gospel. Wow, I was nice to that person. Isn't that wonderful of me? The Roman Empire was not converted from paganism to Christianity by a collection of nice persons. People did not see nice people and think, wow, I'd really like to be nice like that. It's good to be nice, right? It's good to be kind. That's not the purpose of the gospel. The Roman Empire was brought to its knees by saints. Not people who were simply nice, but people who were like God. That is the witness that is needed in the world today. For us, it's not enough that we stop at refraining from evil. The Lord encourages us to pursue Him, to do good, to love our enemies. This is difficult. I know. Trust me, I know. I don't stand here talking to you as one who has already fulfilled this commandment, expecting you all to do the same. I stand here being condemned by the commandment, just like all of us are. But why is it difficult? Why is it hard for us to fulfill the law? Simply because we are still too attached to the world. We are still too willing to abide by the rules that govern this world, and we are not willing enough to abide by the rules that govern the kingdom of God. And I want you all to understand the reason for the existence of the church. The church is not something separate from God, not something that is sort of an organization that God created and manages like a CEO. The church is organically united to Christ. St. Paul says the church is the body of Christ. It is the pillar and the ground of truth. And what the church is here for and what it gives us is therapy. The Christian life lived out in the Orthodox Church is therapeutic. And like any therapy, what it does is it fixes the problem. It corrects the problem. If we have an injury to our leg and we can't walk, there's a series of steps that we have to go through. The leg has to be healed. And then we have to be taught how to walk again. And until all of that happens, we can't say that we're healed. We can't say that we're complete. We're crippled. We're infirm. And what the church does is it provides us with a spiritual course of therapy. Because the reality is, we are attached to this world. And that means that we are sick. We look at the gospel and we say, that sounds wonderful. I can't do it. And so Christ says, well, here, follow this way of life. It's here for you. Why do we fast? It's not because fasting makes us better than people that don't fast. It's because fasting teaches us how to not prefer the things of this world to the kingdom of God. Very plainly. Put that question to yourself on a Wednesday when you're tempted to break the fast. Do I want to eat a cheeseburger or do I want the kingdom of God? It's that simple. And it's to our shame that we oftentimes prefer a cheeseburger. Or fill in the blank, whatever it is. We prefer something else to the kingdom of God. Why is it for the past several weeks that I've been talking to you about tithing? A about sacrificially offering to the church? Is it because doing that makes us somehow more righteous than people who don't do it? No. It's because it teaches us how to prefer the kingdom of God to everything else in this world. It sanctifies our life, which means it makes us like God. We give up that which God has turned over to us freely, willingly, sacrificially. Why? Because that act in and of itself is a confession. My life, what I spend all of my time doing every day, is my life is not determined by it. My life is not defined by what I do to earn money. It is so much greater. My life is defined and determined by the kingdom of God. And when we give of ourselves sacrificially to the church, when we give of ourselves sacrificially to support the poor, what we are saying effectively is, my life is not determined by this. It is a confession of faith. My life, as St. Paul says, your life, is hidden with Christ in God. When we pray in the morning and the evening, is that not a sacrifice of our time? Is that not a sacrifice of our effort? And is it not also the same confession of faith? That our life is not defined by this world. This is what Christ is saying. It is no longer for you, you who are my disciples, it is not for you to follow the rules governing this world. You have new rules to follow. Do they sound hard? Not because they are. Because this world still has too firm of a grip over me. Here is a way of life. Follow it. I guarantee, and now I speak for myself, not in words of Christ, I guarantee you follow this way of life, you will find yourself purified of your attachment to this world. 2,000 years of saints bear witness to the effectiveness of the treatment. That if we follow the Orthodox Christian way of life, we will be purified from our attachment to this world. And we will be initiated and made citizens of the kingdom of God. To him be all glory, honor, and glory.